Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Chris Hunter joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is the homie Liz Phair, somehow 58 years old today, with 6'1", the title track to her landmark 1993 debut, Exile in Guyville. I guess I'm going to send that out to Yuki Karamura.
All right. So, before we get to the, we now know it's going to be the Dallas Mavs. And you wrote about this yesterday, but we just did our Jeff Calkins Show poll and Drew and I went back and forth on this. So let me just ask you a little more about this sort of win or lose. Obviously the Grizzlies are going to be trying to win. They should be trying to win. No one doubts that, but the advantage is either winning or losing or disadvantages, which is it clear to you that just in terms of ignominy and misery that losing tomorrow night would be more unpleasant than getting swept by Oklahoma City if we're trying to avoid the least pleasant thing?
I think it depends on the matter of the game, how the games actually play out in Oklahoma City. Do you feel like, you know, sidestep your question, yes, by saying, to me, when I think about the cost benefit of this,
yeah,
my biggest question is not how fans feel about it.
Right.
My biggest question is how Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, and Desmond Bane feel about it.
Right.
And not in the sense of, like, do they want to win tonight? Because I'm sure they do. But in the sense of, if they lose tonight and the team misses the playoffs for two consecutive years in their mid-20s, does that do anything to shake their belief and commitment in the project? I don't know that it does, but that would be my number one concern.
I think that's exactly right. The notion that if they lose tomorrow night, they might look at each other and say, this is futile.
That's my biggest concern. I don't know that that would be the case. I'm not even suggesting it. You know, it's likely.
That would
be the thing I would wonder about the most.
They could also feel that way if they get swept four games. They could still feel that way if they get swept four games by the Thunder.
This team is historically good and won 68 games, and we got here, and like we're missing these guys, and like missing the playoffs completely is a different kind of thing, a little bit, you know.
There's been
the thing is if you get there and you get swept by them, at least you won a game to get in.
Right.
And at this point they just keep losing these games.
Nice to win something.
Right.
Nice to win something. And you certainly don't rule out the possibility they could win a game against the Thunder, do you?
I mean, anybody could win a game. I think it's a real hard situation when you're without Clark and you're without Wells and without everybody else, and like I don't know if Ja is going to play, and if he can play, if he's going to be anything close to himself tonight. And I don't even know if you've.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing: they play tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m. tip, play-in game. If they win that game, it's a noon tip on Sunday, game one against the Thunder. So I just don't. That ankle turn was pretty bad. I don't have a lot of faith, even if he plays, and Morant being himself, even by Sunday.
If we saw that ankle turn,
there's no way
in the regular season, we would think
he'll be out a couple
weeks.
Week
to week.
Yeah, 100%.
That's 100% true. Okay, before we get to the game Friday night a little more, there's been a lot of disparagement of the pick. We don't need a pick. We don't need another young guy. We don't need a... That would be... It's not a reason, certainly, to do anything, whatever. But it is not a valueless proposition to have the 14th pick in the draft.
All that stuff's just silly, which is fine. Like, you know, you're mad about how your team's gone, and you're mad that it keeps getting younger. Like, that's all rational. But it's not... To be dismissive of the asset of the pick is not rational, both in terms of, yes, it's a piece of currency. It's a unit of currency that can be used in different ways, including for trades. But also, like, I know the team, you know, you think the team doesn't need any more rookies, but, like, it could use a good rookie. Anybody can use a good
exactly.
rookie.
Exactly.
You know, right. I mean, and so, I think I would be happy to have that asset all to right. do something with.
I also think, by the way, just in terms of the, like, let's be honest, given how good the team was over the first half of the year,
right.
attendance was not commensurate with that.
Nope.
And then there's been a checking out since then.
Right.
I think there's some advantage to creating some, again, win a damn game. Like, it was fun even watching them, even the Golden State game was fun. They lost it, but
yeah.
it was fun. And, you know, so winning tonight, I mean, tomorrow night would be fun. And then, you get in the fray against Oklahoma City, and you feel a certain way, and so I think for that reason, I've changed my mind completely.
All right. Well, it does guarantee yes. you win. I mean, on top of that, like you are generating money when you have games,
yeah.
and so
right.
you win the game tomorrow night, you're guaranteeing yourself at least two more games. You
right.
know?
Yeah. So okay, Dallas. What'd you think last night?
I didn't watch the game because it's on ESPN, and I don't have ESPN on my devices, and my parents don't have ESPN in their right. house.
Life we lead now is just...
Yeah,
right,
and so, yes. you know, I can watch the TNT, I can't watch the right. ESPN. But one thing I'll say about it, I mean, I'd mentioned yesterday about sort of performance, you know, within the context of the rosters they have. The one thing about that, and I took a closer look at it today, is that those guys, like, a lot of their best players just haven't played, and then suddenly they're playing last night. And so Dallas, since the trade deadline, has played 30 games, regular season, 30 games, 31 if you include the play-in. But 30 games in the regular season, Anthony Davis only played 9 of those games. He's playing last night. Derek Lively only played 4 of those 30 games,
right.
and now he's playing. P.J. Washington only played 15, and now he's playing. Daniel Gafford only played 8 of those 30. Now all 4 of those guys are playing, right?
right?
So it makes them a different team. If you include last night, which would make it 10 games with Anthony Davis in a Dallas uniform, they are 7-3 when Anthony Davis is in their uniform. Now, only one of those 7 wins was against a team with a winning record, and so there's that part of it. But, like, as bad as that team has been down the stretch, when they have everyone available they could conceivably have available, which is not Kyrie Irving,
right.
there is some decent talent out there. I mean, Anthony Davis and Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson is nothing like what he used to be. But, you know, can hit some threes, as he showed last night. Those are two guys that have won titles, you know, right. in the recent past.
Well, and then if you got a gimpy jaw.
Yeah, and that's a lot. They have a lot of size. Like, it's weird. Like, the lineup they played last night had 0 point guards.
Right.
Like, neither team started a point guard in that game. But they're starting P.J. Washington at small forward, who's
right.
a good defensive power forward.
Right, he's a power forward.
And so they're
right.
starting the front line, Anthony Davis, Derek Lively, and P.J. Washington, which is huge and really good defensively, and they're bringing Gafford off the bench. There's a lot of size there. And so, I mean, you know, no one's going to be shocked if the Grizzlies lose this game, like,
no.
at all. In fact, I'm sure there are people who think they will.
It's 6.5, last I checked, and so it's not...
It seems a little high to me.
Seems a little high to you. Well, particularly if you factor in the injury, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I don't. They haven't put out a report. I don't know if Ja's playing that game. He said he's playing that game, but he said that, you know, in the
Grizzlies,
heat of the moment.
Mavs previous meetings this year, including Sunday, meaningless, largely, given who's...
Pretty much. I mean, on Sunday, they actually did play a lot of the guys on Sunday that were in their rotation last night. But it was the back half of it, right? Those 4 bigs I just mentioned, they only played 1 of those 4. And then Anthony Davis did not play the game in early March in Dallas that the Grizzlies won, which I was at. So, there's not a lot to glean from all that. You do wonder, given the size that they have, if the Grizzlies are going to pop up a Marvin Bagley or a Jay Huff or a Lamar Stevens, somebody like that with some more sides in this game.
Well, just start with the starting lineup they had the other day. Do you assume that Scottie Pippen will not start this one, although he started against Golden State?
That is my assumption. I think the Pippen thing was a matchup thing with Steph Curry. I think he is clearly one of their top five players right now, but I think in terms of rotation balance, it probably makes a little bit more sense to break him off the bench but still play him heavy minutes. Now, this I'm assuming Ja's playing, right?
Right.
If Ja's not playing, this guy's okay, starting. Yeah. But if Ja's not playing, I think they would. I think the play is to go back to a more conventional lineup. Is that Vincent Williams or is that John Conchar, who played better and more than Vince?
Right.
You know, maybe it's Conchar. But that's probably what I would do, and then just like have a short leash with it.
Yeah, you would think Vince would be much the same. Like throw him out there, and if he's horrible again, then you
right. He was good against Dallas, and you know
he was good against 2 days ago. Yeah,
he was good against Dallas in the game in early March too. I went back and looked at that box score. So who knows?
How else might they? I don't know. If Edie, how did Edie fare against their size previously? Has he?
Again, I mean, they didn't
have Anthony Davis, right?
Right, so who knows, right? I think Edie's important in the game. I think Jaren Jackson is very important in the game. There's going to be a real, I think, microscope on Jaren because he was pretty so-so in the game against Golden State. And frankly, his postseason career is pretty so-so. He's had two 30-point playoff games. Game one against the Lakers, game one against the Warriors. He went for 30 in both of those games. You take those out, it's pretty shaky.
Ja's been generally terrific in the playoffs.
And he has.
And Jaren has been so-so. Does Dez have an established playoff record? He was great the other night, obviously.
I didn't go back and look at his game logs. I remember him being really important in the series they won against Minnesota.
Right.
Because Minnesota was trying to take Ja out of it so much. I think Dez sort of stepped up, if I remember correctly.
It's just another time you'd like that Brandon Clark.
100%. You know? Yeah.
It's just like, if you could have... For the playoffs, Brandon Clark or Jalen Wells, you'd take Brandon Clark in these, including Golden
yes.
State's game, this game, and going forward.
I would. I mean, that's debatable, but yeah, I think just Brandon Clark's a better player, if right. healthy, than Jalen Wells. And then I just think you have so few options in terms of, you know, defensively and some other stuff. I'd take Brandon Clark.
So, all right. Sacramento. It is Sacramento and Chicago both lose last night, and they just feel like that is the definition of mediocrity.
It's really like Chicago and former Chicago lost last
That's
night.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Chicago and former Chicago lost last night. You can
it's
take
like alternate timelines in a Marvel universe.
You can
or
take
whatever.
Chicago yeah. out of the guy boy out of Chicago, but you can't take Chicago out of the boy the or the man the. And then Monty McNair, who was executive of the year 2 years ago.
Was he? Why?
It was the Blight the Beam year.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know?
Fine.
And so, and it was really just the DeRozan. I mean, not the DeRozan. It was the Sabonis trade, right? It was the Sabonis, right? It was.
Yeah, they gave up the better player. They somehow finished third in the West that year. And yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good for him.
So, but like it is, that's the where they find themselves. It's funny. Occasionally you'll have people say, hey, Grizzlies should get rid of Ja or whatever. And I don't live in fear about that. I live in fear about lots of things these days, but I don't live in fear of a Ja waking up and saying he wants to be traded. But that is something I fret about from a Grizzlies perspective. They're in that situation. What are they to do when De'Aaron Fox asks out and then they just build with mediocrity with LaVine and DeRozan and Sabonis and there they are, stuck.
I mean, yes, but yeah, and they obviously took some turns I wouldn't have taken in terms of the LaVine and the DeRozan and some of that. But it's hard. You can't just snap your fingers and like be a true contender. Like it's hard to get those players that make that happen. And if you're a team like them that's been bad so often, like it's hard to let go of just being pretty good. So I sort of get that.
Shouldn't be hard for Chicago, though,
to let go of being pretty good,
given their market.
Chicago's way past due to blow it up and to start over. I think they weren't wrong to try to make like lateral shake it up. Let's try to shake up the team and get better without getting bad. I don't think that general approach was wrong. I think the way they did it was wrong. They did it in a way that made them slowly work a little bit worse, not a little bit better. And so the kind of players you target, like, you know, with LaVine and the DeRozan and some of those, even Sabonis when you trade Halliburton, who was like, right. a greater talent, like you had a guy in Halliburton, right?
Right.
And you give up on him too soon. So I don't.
But wasn't that a little bit like Mike Conley and, you know, you have two point guards, you can't
right,
keep
right,
them
right,
both?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You know.
And so I don't think the mistake was not blowing it up and starting over completely. I think the mistake was they made the wrong kind of shake it up and let's try to stay decent, but try to see if we can find a maneuver a way to get better. I don't mind that general strategy, but I don't think they conducted it very well. And now they're at the point where I think they're going to be forced to just sort of blow it up at some point.
Heat take care of the Bulls. And so the Heat face the Hawks, and one of those teams. Do you have a feeling which would then make a more interesting 1-8 series?
Well, Eric Spoelstra has a history of like South. Overperforming yeah, right. in the postseason and maximizing the talent that he has. And Miami, I mean, with my, you know, you just don't have the high end talent now. You don't have the Jimmy Butler,
right?
But Miami does keep doing this. I'm just pulling up the box score. But Davion Mitchell was just like a sort of a semi-bust rotting away right. On the Toronto bench. And they pluck him off and they put him in a role, the right role and the right quote-unquote culture, Heat culture and all of this. And like that dude's a great off-the-bench guy. All of a sudden, you know, they get Khalil Ware in the late first and like he's good. And Tyler Hero keeps getting better and he's like a legit like go-to scorer. And Kyle Anderson, like the guy who should always play, right, and people just keep not playing him. And like last night, like he doesn't take a shot. He plays 23 minutes. He has 5 assists. He has a block. He has a steal. He's plus 15. Like, and that's an Eric Spoelstra that's a game recognized game from a coach and a player, you know. And so, I believe Spo's probably the best coach in the league.
All right, you wrote about you always do write about what's new in film, and this week there's actually a film that interests you.
Yeah, the movie year maybe starts this weekend. You get post Oscar, and then you get the come down of like people are just sort of putting junk into the theaters while they're saving up the good stuff for later, and now you start to have the turn and Sinners. And I haven't seen it, so I can't tell you it's good, but the word on it's very strong. The pedigree is strong. Sinners. Which opens this weekend. It's directed and written and directed by Ryan Coogler, who did both the Black Panther movies and did Creed, which are huge hits and also good movies. Before that, he did this movie Fruitvale Station, which was a little bit more of an indie kind of thing. But he's like both a good director and a successful director. And this is his first fully original script. And it stars Michael B. Jordan. And it is they're not really trying to hide it very much in the market. It seems like it's sort of a vampire story, but it's set in Clarksdale, Mississippi, filmed in Louisiana, but set in Clarksdale, Mississippi in, I think, the 1920s. And Michael B. Jordan plays a set of twins who are World War I, or Great War, is what they would have said then, veterans who have come back home to Mississippi, and bad things are going on.
Right.
And it seems like it's going to tap into sort of blues culture, blues iconography, sold my soul to the devil at the crossroads kind of stuff. But the trailer looks good. The people who got the critics who've seen it early say it's great. And, like, you know, I think it's going to be a hit.
And so you were at the National Civil Rights Museum when you had an intersection, when you intersected with...
I was at the Stax.
At the Stax Museum.
Yes, so I went to Stax last year. I was interviewing Dee Dee Parker, and we just decided to do it at Stax, even though they weren't open at that point in the morning because of that sort of home ground for her. And so I met her there. Dee Dee Parker, former songwriter and publicist at Stax. Later on, president of Soulsville, you know, nonprofit and like, you know, keeper of the legacy, really. So I was doing a story about her because she had, you know, 50 or whatever years to her career. She was a Grammy nominee. So I went there to interview her and we're walking around, I think post interview. And there's a couple other dudes there getting a private tour. And that's the kind of thing that happens. And I end up talking to the guy and it ended up being the guy who did the score for Oppenheimer, who was there with his dad. And he said, you know, my dad and I are taking a little blues tour, music tour in the South. Mm-hmm. And he was also a Grammy nominee for Oppenheimer. So he indeed, he got to meet each other and say, you know, they won the Grammys a couple of weeks later. What he didn't tell me at the time was he was also there scouting and doing research. And that research was for this movie, which he scored.
And it opens Friday?
Maybe
opens
late Friday, Thursday, but Friday's the official.
Is it horror? No.
I think it would classify that way. Yeah. I mean, it's vampires.
Yeah, it's vampires.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going on. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.